our city, our country, our world. Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder on News Radio WTAM 1100.
I love the item Matt Granite's got for you this morning. It's Wills Ways to Save, WTAM.com, keyword save. We have hundreds, if not thousands, of photos you've taken. Great memories stuck in your smartphone, or you think they're in the cloud because I sent them up there. But Matt, I want to show them to people in the palm of my hand, and you came across, this looks like a palm-sized printer.
It is. It's a printer the size of roughly an iPhone 8 Plus.
Yeah.
Where we go back to the era of Polaroid. I know you were around for this, Bill. I was around for this.
Right.
Something very nostalgic and wonderful about being able to capture a moment and share it on the spot and even gift it to whomever you're with.
Hey, the Polaroid cameras are big with the kids. I mean, the last couple of Christmases, it's been a big item, you know?
They have. They made a resurgence. They're trending. If you go to a wedding or any type of party or an office party, the photo booths are huge, right? What do people want to do? They want to pose and then get the photo and they hang it up. It ends up on a Bristol board, the fridge, somewhere else, in a pocket, a wallet. There's something really nice about having a keepsake with you.
I want it instantly. Yes, I want it instantly. So you found something to help me on the phone. Yep.
Yeah. The printer that I found today is 100% wireless. No cord needed. No power source needed after you charge it. And it works with both Apple and Android smartphones. All you have to do is select a printer, which will be very visible to you from your smartphone with a free app. You can edit. You can do whatever you want on the fly. But in seconds, it prints beautiful, vivid HD prints that you can give to anyone. You got a grandparent. Yeah, you want to text them a photo? No, give them the photo. Great for kids, great for adults, great with Mother's Day, Father's Day, and graduation right around the corner.
Love it. How much?
Price usually on this about $200. It is a wireless photo printer.
Mm-hmm.
I found it palm size, tiny price, $99.
Wow, that's a great price. I mean, you'll love looking at this thing.
Printer.
Yeah, it's great. WTAM.com, keyword save. Couple of clicks, you'll have the deal. Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News. Watch him there this morning, back here same time with some Friday savings tomorrow for us.
Oh, you know it.
All right, Matt, thanks much. Have a great day.
Awesome.
Let's get to sports. Your teams were playing last night. Mike Snyder, mornings 15 and 45 past. Morning, Mike.
Good morning, Bill. It was LeBron 16. The Pacers won in the early going of last night's game two at the Cube. But the Pacers would hang right with the Cavs. And down the stretch, LeBron needed to make more plays in the fourth quarter.
LeBron dribbles between his legs. Once, now twice. Step back long to Kansas. LeBron James has given the Cavaliers an 88-78 lead as LeBron now has 40 points.
He finished with 46. Cavaliers win 100-97, and he did it all but maintained his approach last night was really dictated by his coach.
I didn't come into the game saying I want to be assertive. Coach Lou said it. I never said I'm going to play my game, and I did that tonight. And I made some shots early, got into a rhythm. Defensively, I wanted to be in tune. I wanted to try to get my guys involved as well. But I mean, I don't come in the game saying I'm going to try to do this, I'm going to do that. It just kind of happens to flow the game. I play the game the right way, and that's just the result of it. So, we got some work to do tomorrow. We're going to watch the film, break it down, and see ways we can be better in Indiana, where we know it's going to be a very hostile environment come Friday.
Yeah, if you're the Pacers, you figure, hey, we got a split. We almost came back after LeBron scored 46, and they're going home. So, game three is tomorrow at 7. Cavs with a different lineup. Boy, they had the experienced lineup out there. J.R. Smith, Kyle Korver inserted into the lineup, joining LeBron, Kevin Love, and George Hill. And Love jammed his thumb late, but he's going to be all right. They said afterwards, x-rays were negative. He should be a go tomorrow night for game three. Elsewhere in the NBA last night, Jazz leveled the series with the Thunder at 1. Rockets have gone up 2-0 over the Timberwolves. Indians and Twins nearly played the equivalent of 3 games in Puerto Rico last night. It was tied one aside into the 16th.
Here comes the 1-2 from Tomlin. Swung on, line drive, base hit, and that will be the ball game. Rosario comes across home plate. And the Twins win it in 16 by a final score of 2-1 here in Puerto Rico.
Josh Tomlin, eighth pitcher on the night for the Tribe, took the loss. Indians only run an Edwin Encarnacion homer in the 14th. But in the bottom of that, inning, Miguel Sano homered for the Twins to tie the game. Tribe bats, even though it was warm, they just didn't get anything going. 0-for-12 with runners in scoring position. Indians with a day off today. They're in Baltimore for the start of a weekend series tomorrow. NFL draft 1 week from tonight. The schedule will be released this evening. Coming up, despite LeBron's incredible performance, the The Pacers never folded. In fact, LeBron said luck was on the Cavs' side late. That story at 5:45. Home of the Indians and the Cavs. Mike Snyder, News Radio, WTAM 1100.
President Trump talking North Korea.
Hopefully that meeting will be a great success. It would be a tremendous thing for North Korea and a tremendous thing for the world. So we will be doing everything possible to make it a worldwide success. If I think that it's a meeting that is not going to be fruitful, we're not going to go. If the meeting when I'm there is not fruitful, I will respectfully leave the meeting and we'll continue what we're doing or whatever it is that we'll continue.
This is an amazing story, Bill Zimpfer, to follow. In some ways, it's moving very fast on a story that has played out for a long, long time. What's the latest here?
Yeah, it really has. I mean, you're going back to 1953 when this armistice was signed between North and South Korea. Interesting, the president's comments yesterday. Yeah, he would walk out of a meeting if anything wasn't getting done. But it appears that we're moving rather quickly toward the possibility of a sit-down between President Trump and Kim Jong-un. Here is the danger, however, Bill. It appears that Kim Jong-un has hit on a formula here. If you're in a situation where you're under sanctions from the United States, under an economic clamp from the UN, and you want to try to get out of things, what do? You develop a nuclear weapons or missile program, then negotiate with the United States to have the economic restrictions removed and normalize relations. A dangerous kind of formula that a country like Iran could look at, a country like Syria could look at, and we'll have to see how this all plays out. But having said that, South Korea will hold a summit with North Korea next week. They're talking about a possible peace treaty. Easier said than done, because this armistice that took place in 1953, if you break it down to the basics, was signed by three parties: North Korea, the United States, the UN, of course, and the China People's Army. So those three signatories would have to, you would think, sign off on a peace treaty. That's going to be difficult to do. So the prospect of a peace treaty between North and South Korea, I think, might be a little bit ambitious.
Great points. For us, the U.S., you know, we've got our own concerns about North Korea, but the South, they have to be on board with whatever deal there may be that Trump's talking about, obviously, right?
Yeah, there are a couple, and that's why Shinzo Abe was here, of course. Japan wants to be on board with this, too. They want to be kept in the loop.
Yeah.
The wild card here remains China, Bill, and, of course, we're locked in a trade dispute with them. Might be a little difficult to get total cooperation.
Bill Zimpfer on it this morning. It'll continue to play out. We'll have updates, of course, top and bottom of the hour. Anything new with the president, he heads to Key West today. Bill, thanks.
You're welcome, Bill.
Yeah, Trump at Key West, talking to some of the military there about enforcement, drug enforcement laws and things like that. Rush Limbaugh, Trump's close to him down at Mar-a-Lago, right, where Rush lives. Wonder if Rush is sneaking over. We don't know it. Having lunch or dinner over there. Anyway, Rush Limbaugh follows the news at noon. He'll have more on all this on News Radio WTAM 1100. News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Mark Bona, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com joins us. Let's talk food, restaurants, ice cream, beer. We're going to work it all in, so hang on. We've got a lot to cover. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Bill.
First of all, tell me about this interesting event, Western Reserve School of Cooking. What's happening here?
Well, you know, I'm always interested and if people don't realize this, there is a multitude of beer and wine dinners throughout Northeast Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
I run a calendar, a beer calendar that posts on Mondays. The wine calendar posts on Tuesdays. And I'm just amazed. There's casual tastings and formal ones. This one caught my eye because you've got an established school of cooking, Western Reserve School of Cooking, teaming up with Hoptree Brewing in Hudson. Now, Hoptree has only been open a few months. They opened at the tail end of 2017. They're going to have a beer dinner, and it's going to be interactive. Catherine St. John, the chef at Western Reserve, is going to be walking diners through the menu. They're going to be using outdoor charcoal grills. They're going to be using the Hoptree Kitchen. You'll get a tour of the brew house, which is right there on premise. They haven't announced the beers yet, but the food looks delicious, from pretzel bites to peel-and-eat grilled shrimp. Lucky Penny Farm is going to – goat cheese from the farm is going to be part of a salad. Grilled beer brine pork tenderloin, the finishing with a chocolate stout cake. So the it's interesting because this is more than just here, eat and compare yourself. They're going to kind of walk you through it. It's interactive. It's something different, and I really like that.
And for ticket info, you can register online and get more at the website there, right?
That's right. And Excellent. You can also check out my story at cleveland.com as well.
Excellent. Okay, that's coming up. And the Western Reserve School of Cooking. And the Hoptree Brewing Team and a special dinner. Okay, look, guilty as charged. I love ice cream. I will admit I would drive to go to Grater's, which you normally have to, Cincinnati-based. But they have been here in Northeast Ohio for a while. And yet again, another location. And you and I think, are going to be talking a lot about this Pinecrest Development Orange Village. It just looks like a real neat place, you know?
It really does, Bill. And we spoke not too long ago about City Works, a craft beer bar going in. Turns out that Grater's Ice Cream is going to be opening there as well, and they're going to be sharing the same opening date, Friday, May 18th.
Okay.
Now, Grater's, as you know, as you mentioned, is in a lot of stores, mm-hmm. Cincinnati-based. They're in several states. They have a lot of locations in Ohio, but this is only the second one in Northeast Ohio. They have one in Crocker Park out in Westlake. Now they're going to be in Orange Village. So you're right. People go nuts for this ice cream.
It's great.
very old company. It dates back, I believe, to the 19th century. I think the guy running it now is fourth generation owner, Chip Grater. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're in thousands of stores in most states. So they're very popular, but they're going to be opening up right here in Orange Village in about a month.
It's a delicious ice cream. Okay. Mark Bona, Cleveland Plain Dealer, cleveland.com. So we've covered an event. We've covered some ice cream. Let's take you to a nice restaurant that has had a great reputation for some time. And if you haven't been to Vaccaro's, you're going to want to go, I guess. All right?
Yeah, I love Vaccaro's. And, you know, I'm I think it was Roy Rogers who said he never met a man he didn't like or something. And I'm like that with Italian food. I'm willing to try Italian food anywhere. I was weaned on it. I've been going to Vaccaro's for years. And when the chance to do a formal review on it came up, I just jumped on it. I really like this place. It's fine dining. It's Italian. Their focus is very much Italian-centric, which means they're not trying to be all things to all people. This is very much Italian. It's delicious. A lot of food made from scratch, a lot of pasta and pizza options. But what I really like is there's an old-fashioned feel to it. Not so much in the ambiance. Mm-hmm. It's very modern-looking. But Rafael Vaccaro will, on any given night, it's a pretty good chance you'll see him sauntering through the dining room, stopping and talking with patrons. If he gets a feel of the room and you're open to it, he'll pull up a chair and sit with you. He loves talking about what you're eating, what you liked, what you ordered. He's willing to match up wines. Really just a nice feel that you just often don't get in a lot of places. We're all so busy. People are always churning things out, concentrating on the job at hand. But Rafe, as he's known, really likes to come out, work the room, as I like to say. And I just find that a nice old-fashioned touch that I think means a lot to a lot of diners, and it keeps people coming back.
We're talking about Vaccaro's Gent Road there, 77. Let's go right to the pizza, though. Give me your pizza review.
The pizza was great. It is a little on the thick side. I know people have opinions, thin or thick.
Yep.
This is thick, but the cheese is excellent. It reheats beautifully. It was delicious. I like both thin and thick, but we have so much thin in this area. It's nice to see a thick pizza once in a while.
Decent wine selection, beer as well?
The wine is very, very good. It's an Italian focus, but he's got a little bit from all over. Very affordable. I mean, there's a couple of high-end bottles.
Sure.
There's a lot in the $30 to $50 range. And by the way, Bill, I'll just give a shout-out while we're talking about wine. You know, Grapes Under Glass is coming up this weekend at Heinen.
Yes.
There's still tickets for that. That is a fun event, that is a focus on high-end wines. So that's several days of seminars and grand tastings, and it's over at Heinen's and the Adega there at Euclid. So that should be a fun event. This is the second annual one.
Mark Bona, Cleveland Plain Dealer, cleveland.com. Great follow on Twitter, mbona30. Check out more of his review of Vaccaro's and everything else going on at cleveland.com, and, of course, the food section as well, Plain Dealer. All right, Mark, thanks much, pal.
Thank you, Bill.
Stormy Daniels. So we've got Michael Bauer following all that. Hi, Michael.
Well, Bill, it looks like Trump's been watching a lot of TV while down there in Mar-a-Lago as he's began tweeting everything that he was seeing on television, or at least reflecting that, where you had, starting off, this tweet that he had not addressed anything with Stormy Daniels in the past, much to the delight of his legal team. He actually made that change yesterday by putting out a tweet that said, a sketch years later about a non-existent man, a total con job playing the fake news media for fools, but they know it. That in regards to Stormy Daniels and her lawyer releasing the sketch on The View yesterday for a $100,000 reward to find the man who threatened Stormy Daniels. But now what we're looking at is Michael Avenatti, the lawyer for Stormy Daniels, not only laughing in the face of that tweet, saying nothing better in litigation than having a completely unhinged opponent who's prone to shooting himself in the foot, but also now stating that because of that tweet and calling it all fake, he might just file a defamation claim directly against President Trump.
Meanwhile, he tweets that, and a few minutes later he's tweeting about Pompeo and North Korea and how we may get close, and then five minutes later it's about James Comey yesterday, right?
Yeah, and that was even a weirder one, because it came sort of out of left field that President Trump said, Comey was not fired for the Russia investigation, and everybody in the news media and journalists and the news organization and NBC in particular went, whoa, hold on a second. I think we've heard this someplace before, and then pulled a clip from President Trump with Lester Holt from almost a year ago, where he directly tells Lester Holt, no, indeed, I fired Comey for the Russia investigation. So that contradiction flew all over Twitter, and I'm sure that there's nothing more that the president loves than having his tweets contradicted on some level. So that was a highlight of the day as well. And it just seemed like the more the president was tweeting, the more trouble he was getting himself in on a public scale.
The fake news continues. Hey, there's one other tweet site. I don't know if you follow this or not. It's @RealSportsTrump. And it's somebody who tweets like Trump when it comes to sports. They're as funny at times as Trump's.
@RealSportsTrump. I'm going to have to follow
that. You got to follow that. Pull it up sometime. @RealSportsTrump. This guy tweets.
So it's done like in the same voice as Trump, but they're tweeting about sports?
Exactly. He'll talk about the fake news around some sports team. He's tweeting about the Cavaliers, how great they are. It's @RealSportsTrump. You'll enjoy it.
I will definitely check that out. Thank you for the suggestion. I appreciate it.
They're almost as funny at times as the ones that actually come from the real president, you know. So, all right.
That is definitely true, Bill.
Thanks. Michael Bauer on the noise this morning. Michael, thanks, pal. Social media also. This was interesting. LeBron James last night, sad night in the NBA and the family with Greg Popovich, the coach of San Antonio, loses his wife to a long illness. And after the game last night, if you're watching Ali LaForce on the TNT broadcast, ask LeBron about the death of Popovich's wife, Erin. Right away, social media blew up. Not fair. LeBron's blindsided. LeBron says he's not on social media, but he kept getting text messages from people about it, and he made a statement late last night about the whole thing.
Hey, what's up with y'all? Just checking in with y'all. On my way home from our game 2 victory. And I'm not on social media right now, but I was made aware through some friends, through text, that a question was asked to me post-game, and a lot of people feel like I was blindsided. That is absolutely false. Ali LaForce told me that she was going to ask me the question and if it was okay. And once I started talking about it, once we were on air, actually my emotions just kind of took over, and that was just my emotions coming straight from my heart about the late Erin, Popovich. It's unfortunate, it's a tragic loss. My thoughts, my prayers, once again, goes out to the Popovich family.
Scott Scuderese, producer extraordinaire alongside, has that posted at WilsonCenter.com,
yes,
too, right?
You could see the video.
LeBron's not driving.
No.
Somebody's driving his key, I guess, while he's sitting there.
Maybe
doing
his wife or,
this
you
is
know.
On his uninterrupted.
Yeah, he
thing
does
he
these
does, right?
a lot where, yeah, he's sitting.
After the game, does his video.
Sits yeah. in a back seat or.
But it was, I mean, when Ali asked him the question right away, people on Twitter just yelling and screaming how it wasn't fair. And he's like, no, I mean, it. What you don't know is before the interview, Ali said...
Right, that she... That, are you aware
are
of this?
Are you aware she passed? I'm going to have to ask you about it. Got it. And then they did the camera shot.
And he did get very on camera there, I think. Because,
right.
He just come off the floor after that game.
Sure.
And it was...
Yeah, they had a beep it.
And
yeah.
He did get very emotional right after when she'd asked
so,
that.
So, yet again, people on social media not quite knowing what's going on yet, they want to chime in. But, so it is what it is. But you can see LeBron... It looks like he's in the key, I guess, right? He's got his key. He's got a Rolls Royce in
well,
the key. Well,
I can't tell what he's in, but he's, it's a big true. Enough. It's big enough, though. And he's,
take a look.
Someone's got the they if got the camera on him.
WilsonSnyder.com.
On his way home, going down 77. Right? You might have seen him on 77. Yeah,
plus, you got some of the highlights of them 46, right?
Yes, sir. The first 16, baby.
News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Do the airlines really care? Rick Cini is at faircompare.com this morning on that topic. Rick, good morning. I don't fly that often. When I do, you know, if the captain of the crew is out by the door, I just say, hey, thanks for the flight. Good job. You know, you got me here safely. That's what I care about. Although some people are still upset at times about customer service. Where's the airline at on listening to me?
Well, I think they've gotten a lot better since they've gotten some extra money in the last 4 or 5 years after we had that terrible recession and a bunch of mergers have gone through. And, you know, you have essentially four airlines that control a little over 80% of traffic in the United States. So you have one, Southwest Airlines, where customer service is sort of their ethos. That's their added value. The other ones have had issues. We've seen what's happened with United in the past. But they do, all of them are very conscientious of their brand, and they do man their Twitter feeds and Facebook pages with a variety of social media experts and customer service support personnel. So if you do have to complain, it's probably better to complain there than it is to an actual flight attendant, where if you complain too vociferously, you may be booted off the plane.
Seriously, I mean, so you're saying you should go third party, if you will, to complain.
I think that's the best way. Now, if generally there's a couple places you complain to actually register statistics that do actually get monitored by airlines. They are actually tied to people's bonuses and a variety of other things, and those include a variety of these different issues that you might have. One's with TSA. If you just type in TSA complaint into Google, you'll be able to find that particular form. The other is with the actual airline itself. Typically best to actually contact the airline directly on their carrier website. They have a section for that. But if you need to do it with the Department of Transportation, you can also type in DOT consumer complaint and the form for that as well. You'll see those statistics quoted on news. You'll see them being tied to people's bonuses. So they do want those statistics over time to get better, and that's what policymakers are looking for as well.
Rick Cini at faircompare.com with me. Before we talked, I looked onto a couple of different blogs, and it looked to me like most of the complaints were from people about how they were treated with their overhead baggage. Like, you know, hey, I got on a flight, sure enough, there's no room, you know, on these planes, which it's how you live nowadays, it seems like, on the planes.
Yeah, there's no doubt. The very first bag fee, check bag fee, which was $15, now it's $25 each way, was in the spring of 2008. There's an entire group of people that are 28, 29 years old, don't know what it's like to actually fly without a bag fee.
Right.
It's kind of a crazy statistic. And that means everybody's going to try to save that $50. We see what people do for just a dollar. People won't fly for a ticket that's $1 more, let alone a bag fee that's $50. So here you have everybody trying to get everything into the cabin. And essentially, if you're not in the first half of the people boarding an aircraft, you're likely not going to be able to get your bag into the cabin. And that causes all sorts of issues. Because if you're on a business trip and you don't want to wait an extra 30 or 45 minutes at the airport while your bags come up, this can be a very big issue for you.
Yeah, without a doubt. All right, Rick Cini at faircompare.com, a great website to use when it comes to pricing flights. And as Rick says, when it comes to complaining, you're probably better off just going third party. Just post something on Facebook like everybody else. All right, Rick, thanks much.
Absolutely. All right, take care.
Yes, and if you listen, Bill, to her call, it's measured. It's pretty direct. Like, it's, look, I got two people. They're not buying anything. They won't leave. I need some help. And so I think what she did was fine. Now, you know, did the police handle it correctly? I don't see any major faults. Could have maybe they talked longer. Could maybe they gotten more information with these two guys. Could Starbucks maybe have trained their managers that when you have these situations, go and sit down with the people. Get them doing it. You say, hey, what's shaking? You know, are you waiting on somebody? Which was apparently the case.
Mm-hmm.
If you got that piece of information, can you get a time frame from them and say, you know, if it goes a lot longer, do you mind buying a cup of coffee or do you mind waiting outside? I mean, would that have worked? Maybe, maybe not. The point being, you got to really do some communicating here with people to sort of get away from the ultimate, well, now we're going to have to arrest you.
You know, there's a lot of business conducted on golf courses, they say. But I'm convinced anymore, you go into a Panera or a Starbucks, it looks like people have their offices set up. They got their computer there. They're meeting with people left and right. And it is it's almost like an underground industry, if you will.
Yeah, it's like pop-up offices, kind of. You're exactly right. And, you know, and obviously places like Starbucks, fill in the blank, you know, it's a business. They do have to sell stuff to stay in business. And so there's that middle ground, I suppose. But, it, you know, this really all goes about how we communicate with each other, Bill. And as I said earlier, that's not the perfect part of this. But, you know, the last thing you want is to have anybody arrested in your establishment. It just doesn't look good.
Yeah, not at all.
The short answer is, can we do better? I think we can.
And obviously the video makes it worse as far as public relations. Brad Garrett, for another minute. A lot of U.S. cities, and Cleveland, of course, one of these. We've been revitalizing neighborhoods, transforming areas of lower income over the years. Police, neighborhoods, they're on the front lines in all these situations. And there are some dilemmas at times, right?
Right. And they get called more, Bill. The misdemeanor arrests in those neighborhoods go up because loitering, selling Lucy's and, you know, individual cigarettes on the corner was normal a year ago. Now it's not normal because other people have moved in the neighborhood, so they call the police. So you have more sort of negative interaction between the police and the community, or particularly the minority community that previously lived there.
Our Brad Garrett on it this morning. That Starbucks video, by the way, has already had more than 10 million views. They're, of course, shutting down for a day to talk about how to handle situations, but interesting story. All right, Brad, thanks for the take. Appreciate it.
Take care, Bill.
Total Tribe coverage, and I mean total Tribe coverage on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside, Jim Rosenhaus on the hotline. As we talk about a quick two-game series and what an experience in Puerto Rico. Before we get to the game, look, a lot of social media, your account, Rosie's a great follow at Indians Radio. Very official. You see a lot of the park. I saw from our buddy Andre Knott more social media. You in the background enjoying the beach. I don't want to go to that story, but I do. I do want to ask you about the experience though in Puerto Rico and the power outage yesterday. What was going on?
Well, it was a tremendous experience, Bill, and I think most of the players will agree with that. Coaches, manager Terry Francona, a lot of fun, the passion that they have for baseball. And unfortunately, I think the after effects of the hurricanes last fall still impacting the island. They had a power outage yesterday, full island power outage, and apparently they had one last week too. So it's almost become a part of their weekly routine, unfortunately. But they were able to play the game. They had enough generators at the ballpark to make it operational, and everything went off without a hitch at the ballpark. And I think they feel like the power will be back there maybe today, maybe tomorrow.
Jim, it really sounded like it looked like a cool atmosphere to be in that ballpark of that size with all that emotion in the park.
Completely different from what we're used to, Mike. Even last night, a great pitcher's duel, no question. Not a whole lot of action. so not a whole lot of things to keep the fans going, but there's just constant noise with drums and trumpets and between innings bands playing, coming out on the field and all kinds of fun stuff. So they keep it going and they keep it energetic, and it really was a lot of fun.
Well, it was a great pitching duel last night that the Twins prevailed in. Jim, this Indians team, just hopefully maybe they get some routines going here, come some steady play, these bats will come alive. That's been a bit disappointing to this point, hasn't it?
Well, there have been some positive signs, Mike. The four-game stretch before last night, they had been scoring plenty of runs, and it looked like the offense was perking up. Now, they ran in to Jose Berríos last night, and he's off to a great start. And that'll bear watching over the course of the season series between these teams, because they'll see him again, and he was really good last night. So they'll need to figure him out as the season goes along. But he's a good young pitcher, one of the better young arms in the game today. But then the Twins' bullpen was really good, too, as was the Indians. And, again, you play 16 innings, and the final score is 2-1, obviously. Both teams had the pitching going, and we'll see if they can kind of get the bats going again here in Baltimore over the weekend.
And, boy, Carrasco looks great, doesn't he?
He does. And, you know, I think there was one bad inning in his first start and sort of a bad one in his second start. yet he just keeps pitching well. And these last two appearances, the complete game last time out, and then seven shutout again last night, and he just looks primed for a big, big season.
Off day today in Baltimore. I think Bauer starts the series, I think, tomorrow night. Is that right, Trevor?
He sure does.
All right.
Trevor Bauer will be out there tomorrow night. So
all right. Okay. Andre Knott will join me tomorrow morning. This is your last chance to deny anything in Puerto Rico. This one pick, it looks like you in the background that I do see on the boat, but I...
On the boat. Now.
On their boat. I mean, Andre, I'm telling you, Instagram, Andre Knott was posting.
There was that deep sea fishing excursion. I don't know what happened there.
We can't comment.
No, that's not part of Total Tribe coverage.
Rest up. We'll listen tomorrow night in Baltimore. We'll get the rest of the story from Andre Knott tomorrow morning. Thanks, Rosie.
Okay, guys. Thanks.
Bye bye.
We have everything it takes to win. Because I love the adrenaline in my
veins. I do whatever it takes. It's complete Cavaliers coverage from WTAM 1100. Your morning Cavs update brought to you by Levin Furniture, the preferred home furniture mattress supplier to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside John Michael, who called it last night, joined us. Boy, they don't make it easy, do they? 197. He comes out strong. He gets 46. John, what a night for LeBron here, first of all.
Oh, he was sensational. I mean, 17 of 24 from the field. He, over the previous 72 hours, said, yeah, I think I want to be a little more aggressive in the game. And like you said, he comes out, scores the first 16 points, take the Cavs to a 16-1 lead. And for a game in which the Cavs led wire to wire, it felt like anything but. I mean, the Cavs had to hang on down the stretch as LeBron goes for 46 points, 12 rebounds, and 5 assists. He was simply incredible. He put the Cavs on his back. And what was a critical game, too. The Cavs did not want to go to Indy down 2-0 in this series. Cavs hang on, even it at 1 with a 197 victory.
Well, John, we can see it's much different feel to what's going on now than what we've been through the last 3 years. I already feel like we've been through two series, and it's just two games of the opening round. That there was urgency last night for the Cavs to win against this Pacers team that is just a tough team right now, as I see, and they've been tough all year.
Yeah, you're not kidding, Mike. I mean, that was the Cavs needed that one yesterday, and Indiana doesn't quit. I mean, there are people nationally that seem surprised with what Indiana's doing. It shouldn't be. I mean, the Cavs won 50 games this season. Indiana won 48 in the second half of the season. Indiana was one of the top five teams in the league in terms of wins and losses. So this should not come as a surprise. This is what they've been doing to teams over the last handful of months. And they play a nice brand of basketball. I mean, they're aggressive. They attack the ball. I think, you know, the Cavs in that game yesterday, the Pacers shot 53%. But it felt differently defensively. You know, I think the Cavaliers pressured the Pacers a lot more. They forced 17 Pacer turnovers that turned into 18 points. That was a lot different. I think the pressure defensively was a big reason why the Cavaliers win that game. Victor Oladipo at the end of the game was forcing up threes. I mean, he had a wide open look to tie the game with only a couple of seconds remaining, less than a minute remaining, missed the shot. So I think the Cavaliers, even though the numbers may not reflect it, I think they were a lot better defensively in terms of the pressure that they put on the Pacers. And fortunately, they were able to hang on and even this series at one before we head off to Indy today.
Well, LeBron's certainly capable of delivering another 40-point game again, but they do need others to step up, and that's going to be interesting now as this goes to the road, John, to see who can do that, who off the bench maybe can give them a lift. I think they got good starts from Korver and JR, but who off that bench bunch is going to supply a little punch? They need something there.
I think that's the biggest question, Mike. I mean, I really do. You know, you look back at the finals last season, the theme was, can LeBron get some help from his friends? And he didn't get enough, you know. And now I think that's the big question right now. I thought Korver was great in the ball game. He played 31 minutes, hit four threes, precisely what the Cavaliers needed. I mean, a team that really struggled from behind the line in game one came out hot in that department in game number two. JR, too. I mean, JR goes for only 5 points, but his strip of Victor Oladipo late in the fourth quarter was a huge, huge swing. Stripped him, went all the way, laid it up and in, and you look at the final score, 197. Cavs needed it, you know, and I thought JR played a nice game. He played 35 minutes in the ball game, so I like the move in terms of the switch with the starting lineup to insert Korver and J.R. Smith. Now, Nate McMillan adjusted early. He went with a three-guard look, and it's likely that Indiana is going to counter by going with that, and we'll see how this thing plays out as this series progresses. But I completely agree with you, Mike. I think that's the key, not just to this series, but the key to the Cavaliers' success. They need other players to step up and show that they're capable of being, you know, not just the secondary scorer in the case of Kevin Love, but also guys who can produce, and not just the bench guys, but the other starters as well. To me, Mike, that's the critical question in terms of how far this team can progress. You know, will they get other players to step up and be able to do it on both ends of the floor?
197 win. John Michael will call it Friday. Coming up, how you could be a part of some excitement Friday night. John, thanks.
All right, guys.